Well, on her journey down the yellow brick road, a girl from Kansas by the name of Dorothy meets a number of strange characters. She first meets a scarecrow, and then the two of them together come upon a lumberjack made of tin. And he's there standing totally still in the forest. He tries to speak, but you can barely hear him. He can't move. He's stuck. Dorothy listens closely. He's asking for an oil can. She finds an oil can nearby, squirts some oil around his mouth and joints, and he begins to move around and speak. And then he tells the story. The movie that we're all familiar with leaves out a crucial point, which the author gave in the original story. See, the Tin Woodman had once been a real man who had been in love with a beautiful maiden. And it was his dream to marry her once he had enough money to build them a cottage in the woods. But the wicked witch hated his love, and she cast a spell upon the man that caused him injury, so that one by one his limbs needed to be replaced with artificial ones made of tin. At first, it kind of seemed like an advantage, for his metal frame allowed him to work nearly as powerful as a machine. And with a heart of love and arms that never tired, it seemed like a sure win. But, as the story says, "I thought I had beaten the wicked witch then, and I worked harder than ever. But I knew how cruel my enemy could be. She thought of a new way to kill my love for the beautiful Munchkin maiden and made my axe slip again so that it cut right through my body, splitting it into two halves. Once more, the tinner came to my help and made me a body of tin, fastening my tin arms and legs and head to it by means of joints so that I could move around as well as ever. But alas, I had no heart, so that I lost my love for the Munchkin girl and did not care whether I married her or not. There was a man who was once real and alive and in love. But after a series of blows, his humanity was lessened and gone, and just became kind of a machine. I guess you could say a hollow man. And at first he didn't even notice he was just as productive like a machine when he loses his heart. But it was the wicked witch that brought disaster upon him. And the author of the story reminds us that the enemy knows how vital the heart is, even if we do not, and all his forces are fixed upon its destruction. You see, if the enemy can disable or deaden our heart, then he has effectively foiled the plan of God. Because you see, by taking out your heart, the enemy takes you out, and you are essential to the story. See, the enemy has come out against us, and now in some way we are all like the Tin Woodman. We've all suffered a serious blow over time to our heart. I want to talk about our heart. I've been doing, personally, a lot of thinking about this topic and theme. Actually, I've been thinking about it for a long time, maybe about a year, just on this topic. But God has just kind of really recently been laying on my heart to have us all kind of walk through what His Word has to say about the heart, about our hearts. It seems like the perfect time. I would say right now in my own life, My heart has been through about every imaginable thing recently. My heart's still trying to recover and wrap itself around the closure of our school here at Trinity, what that means, and how many people have been affected by it. Nothing bad, but just changes in things going on in my own family and transitions, and a lot of stuff happened in the last few years. And then more recently, over the last couple months, you throw in some COVID and all the effects that that's had, and just the dynamics about just the way we do life. It messes with your heart. Then you throw in that and just trying to process what's going on in our world, and particularly in our own nation. It just seems like it's come unraveled. And just trying to process. Yeah, racism is kind of the focal point, but just dealing with it in our own hearts and our own nation, and where our hearts are at, and just processing all this. You just throw all this stuff together. And it's all about the heart. I've entitled the series, The Well Heart. And it was intentional because I wanted it to kind of be a play on words. First of all, I think we all want a healthy heart, a well heart that functions right. But then our hearts are also like a well. It's like a receptacle. Something that things collect in and then flow from. And I really want us all just to latch on that image, just sear it into your thinking, our heart being like a receptacle, like a well. Because that's really where it's all at. The overall passage that I've selected for this series is Proverbs 4:23. And the more I read it and meditate on it and think on it, the more it says. Where the writer says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We're going to be unpacking that over the next few weeks. Because you see, the heart is central. The heart is the central focus. And the subject of the heart is probably addressed in the Bible more than any other subject in Scripture. And according to Scripture, the heart can be troubled, it can be wounded, it can be pierced, it can be grieved, it can be broken. But also it can be cheerful and glad and joyful and rejoicing. The heart can be hard. It can be, or it can be whole, or it could be divided. It can be steadfast and true and upright and courageous, but also it can be frightened and faint and cowardly. It can be wandering and forgetful and dull and stubborn and proud and hardened. It can be wicked. It can be perverse. The Bible says it's a source of creativity and courage and conviction. It's a source of faith, hope, and love. But what is this thing? What is this heart? What is the heart? Now, we all know we have the muscle inside of our chest, about the size of our fist, and obviously it's the natural pump that, you know, pumps the blood through our whole system. And I'm not talking about the muscle, I'm talking about the core of who we are. But as we will see in coming weeks too, there's a lot of things that we can learn from the physical muscle in ourselves that we call the heart that we can learn spiritually. But for us right now, we'll look at it as the core of who we are. It's the center of an individual's mental, emotional, and spiritual life. When you think of the mental center, as we look at Scripture again, the heart knows things. It understands and reflects and considers and remembers. But likewise, there's the emotional center of who we are. because it's a seed of joy and courage, but pain and anxiety and despair and sorrow and fear. It's the moral center, because a heart can be evil and perverse and hardened, but it also can be clean and new. What kind of heart does God desire? We look at Scripture, and he desires a heart that's thankful and grateful, that's truthful, a heart that's open and soft, but also at times sorrowful and contrite. He desires a heart that's humble and dependent. So as the writer of Proverbs says, above all else, think about this. Guard your heart, because for everything you do flows from it. So we need to understand what's at stake and how important it is, because the heart is central to all we are and all we do. But the reality is, as we look in Scripture, we come to realize that our hearts are fallen. They're wicked. They're full of pride. And our hearts have been broken. Our hearts have been discouraged. But our hearts need to be transformed. They need transformation. And I think in some way or another, we all long for transformation. You know, in that story of the Wizard of Oz, you know, the Cowardly Lion gets his courage, Scarecrow gets his brains, the Tin Woodman gets a new heart, and they got what they never thought they could or would be possible. See, Jesus knows us, and he knows our need. That's why he says we must be born again. Spiritually reborn, remade, a work of God in us. Something from outside of us given to us as a gift to help us be what we could never be or regain on our own. Because we know we are not how we were made. We are not how we were meant to be. You see, within all of us is the ugly truth of what can be. Because we've seen it. We've seen it come out in our own life. We see it come out in other people. As one person put it, you would think with all the effort, humanity would be on top of this by now. Of course, the reason treatments ultimately fail is that we quite misdiagnose the disease. The problem is not our behavior. The problem is within us. It's in us. Jesus said on more than one occasion, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false testimony and slander," and we can also add racism. It just comes out. Again, that reservoir. We don't need an upgrade. We truly need transformation. We need a miracle. And again, that's the work God does within us. God's the one that changes a heart. God can give us a new heart. And it's not about some program that we do. It's not because we get some better training or go to a seminar that's going to change our heart. Many people have principles for a better life. But it's Jesus Christ who can show us how to walk with God. It's the work of Christ that can change a heart. See, our life is a story. And over the course of life, our hearts have learned many things. Our hearts have experienced many things. Our hearts have taken in many things. And some things are true and some things are not. But you see, God's desire is that our hearts be set free and restored. See, all sorts of damage is done to our hearts over the course of life. damaged by sin, by others, by the enemy, the devil. And here's the tragic thing. Sometimes the worst blows typically come from family. When we're young, when we're vulnerable. As one person said, those accusations you heard growing up, the core convictions that formed about your heart will remain down there until someone comes to dislodge them and run them out of Dodge. This is the perfect thought to begin talking about on this Trinity Sunday as we understand the work that God does. Because here's the counsel of the Holy Spirit that comes and brings good words to our heart. True words to our heart. And you see, that's the work of God. To bring renewal to our sensitive, tender, vulnerable hearts. I think every one of us today can just sit for a moment. We think, you know, where's my heart today? What's the condition of my heart? Only the gospel, only the good news of Jesus Christ can bring healing and forgiveness, give you a new heart. And the more you think about this and the more you go over what Scripture has to say about it, do you see why God says guard your heart? But how? How do you guard your heart? How do you protect your heart? It's not all that easy because outside influences are always seeking to attack it and wound it. When you think that you've got some positive stuff put into the reservoir, something else comes along and attacks it or wounds it or upsets it. So we're going to explore this topic and theme in Scripture. Like I said, there's probably more said about the theme of the heart than any other theme in all of Scripture. And that statement, everything you do flows from it. Next week, we're going to get into a kind of a biblical anatomy and physiology lesson about the heart. Now, I know that we've all had the basics in school about how our heart works and how things flow through. The biblical understanding is a little bit different, but we're going to look at some drawings and illustrations. And since I'm going to do them, you're going to be amazed. Come tune in just to see my own artwork on how this is going to work. But all of a sudden, you look at it and you process it the way Scripture understands, and you say, oh, that's how it works. And pieces start coming together. And we start understanding how those things get there and how they get into the receptacle, how they get into the well, and how things flow out of the well. God wants us to have a healed, whole, renewed, new heart. I think we need to start here at this place with this understanding. There's a war going on for our heart. There's a war going on for your heart. There's a war going on for my heart. And what the world has done to seek to destroy it and to rob it, it's always been the enemy's desire, just like that wicked witch, to just go and destroy it. To demoralize it, to confuse it, to mess with it. It's always been the desire of God to restore, renew, transform, to heal, make whole. David prayed in one of the Psalms, he said, "Search me, O God. Search me, get in there and know my heart. Expose to me what's going on in there because I just so want to walk in new life." And then even after that deep down time in his own life, he went before God and said, "God, create in me a clean heart, O God. renew, restore something within me. And I just pray as we go through this together over the next few weeks that we would have that desire to understand what's at stake, that God desires to do a beautiful work in us, and what we can do to allow the right things to flow into this reservoir, into this well. So out would come things of beauty, things that bring life and restoration. I'm looking forward to this journey because I need this sermon series, and it's really selfishly, it's for me. And what I need to process in my own heart right now and all the things going on. And I hope that together as we go through God's word, he will do a work in our hearts. And again, do a very special work in our hearts. Because if it's something going on here, it can only benefit what comes out into the world around us. We'll do this together. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.